We are, as you know, beginning to walk into this journey of talking about angels. Last week, as a part of introduction, I shared with you why we want to talk about angels. You remember this, the two reasons. Number one, it's in the Bible. In the NIV version, 290 times angel or angels is talked about. So if it's in the Bible, we should know it. We should understand it. And for that reason as well, the second reason we look at this is because there's a lot of things out there in the world in particular that are not true about angels. It's the world's version of what angels are and what their importance are in our lives and how they act. But folks, if it does not line up with the Word of God, we have to understand that it's false. And if you don't know the truth, how do you then distinguish between that and what's not true? So that's why we talk about this. This is why we learn this. What is an angel? An angel is a created being of God. God created angels. Angels are not lesser gods. They have no deity, but they are supernatural, which means they operate outside of the realm of what we understand is natural life for us. In other words, an angel can just appear in our midst out of seemingly nothing. We can't do that because we're in the natural. But an angel has abilities beyond that. They are also immortal. They never die. So some very great differences between angels and man. So they are a supernatural creation. And now then, who are angels? Well, obviously they're not like us. There's nothing like us. And there are some of us that are even less like angels. I won't use any names. A lot going through my mind right now. But the word angel, if you translate from the original Greek, and that word is angelos, which is where we get the word angels, it means messenger, or an envoy, or an ambassador. That's what angels are. Angels do not do what they think they should do. They do what God tells them to do. They're God's messengers. And so in understanding and knowing that, what I want to look at this morning are the characteristics of an angel. So what makes an angel? Can you call something else an angel that is not one? No, because there are very specific characteristics of what makes an angel. Now, the definition of characteristic, according to Webster, is this. It's a distinguishing trait, all right, or a quality or a property. So the characteristics that make you who you are things that we could identify, well, this is them. They are this, and they're this. Those are your characteristics. So the same is true about angels. They also have characteristics. Before I even talk about that, though, is there any way that we can know what an angel naturally looks like in their angelic condition? Not what they look like when they come to earth, because they assume forms that we can identify. But what do they look like when they're not looking like a human? Well, take your Bibles. Got your Bibles? Turn to the book of Daniel, which is in the Old Testament. This is probably the best description of a natural angel. And this is in Daniel 10. So again, we're talking about characteristics of angels. What makes an angel? But before we even look at that, what do they look like? I mean, I'm curious about that. I don't know if you are. What's an angel look like? I mean, they show up here and they look like a person. But that is a human form that they take so that we can identify them and be able to speak with them. But what does an angel look like in the spiritual form? This is Daniel 10, starting the fourth verse. All right, now what we got here is that Daniel is receiving a vision. Daniel is talking about the prophetic things that God is speaking to him. And first, though, he says this, on the 24th day, verse 4, of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. Now, the Tigris should sound familiar to you. That's one of the four rivers that ran out of the Garden of Eden. The Tigris, the Euphrates, the Pishon, and the Gishon. Those are the four rivers. The Tigris. He says, I'm standing on the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. Now, that sounds very natural, doesn't it? Linen, gold, belt. But he says now, his body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and his legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Now that word multitude can also be made to sound to be thunder. So he had a voice like thunder, a face like lightning, eyes like torches of a fire, arms and legs like burnished or polished brass, voice like thunder. Now, he very well could have been describing Gabriel, one of the archangels. He doesn't say his name, but that could be that description. But let me ask you this. Is it any wonder why anytime you read in the Bible that an angel showed up, that is the sound they make when they come, by the way. So listen for that, all right? Then you'll know, ooh, angel. I'm messing with it. When an angel just shows up, though, is there any wonder why in all of the Bible, every single person, what's the first thing they do? Boom, down on the ground. I would. This guy shows up with a face like lightning, eyes like fire. I'm dropping on the ground. And if you go read beyond in Daniel 10, you go into the 8th verse, the 10th verse, and the 15th verse, Daniel every time keeps trying to fall down on his face, but the angel keeps getting him to stand up again. And we'll talk more about this later, but that's going to be one of the ways that you can determine whether you are speaking to an angel of God or to a false angel. An angel of God or a false angel? How do you tell that? First thing I would do, get down on my face before him. Because if it's an angel of God, he's not going to let you do that. He's going to tell you to get up because he is going to tell you, I am just a messenger, a servant. You don't worship me. You get a false angel appears in front of you, they're going to let you bow down and worship them because they're about pride. They're about what's false and anti of what God is. God is about love and about the humility of who we are before him. A false angel will let you worship him. We'll talk more about that later. That's just something to whet your appetite a little bit for what's coming. So Daniel tells us, he gives this physical description of what an angel looks like. Let me tell you one more thing physically about angels. They are neither male nor female in their supernatural form. They have no gender. Although every time they appear in the Bible, they are in the male form every time. There is no example in the Bible of a female angel. The word Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer even, all of those are men names in the Bible. Every time you see them described, in Ezekiel 8:2, it says a man appeared, very specifically a man. In Daniel 10:5, we just read, he said, I looked up and there was a man standing before me. Every pronoun in the Bible, it's always he. You say, Pastor Dave, is that a big deal? It is if you want to know the truth of how the Bible presents angels to us. So again, in much of the literature of New Age and Far Eastern religion, there are female angel forms. That is not scriptural. It's not biblical. If you have if something appears to you, and again, I know some of you might be having a little bit of a tough time wrapping your mind around this to go, wait a minute, you mean something could just appear to me? Yes, it could. If God wills it, anything can take place in our lives. But here's what's happened. Our world has tried to get us in the church so conditioned to the foolishness of what we believe that even people within the church are beginning to doubt what it is God can do. Does that make sense? The world is trying so desperately to get us to doubt what the Word of God says that even something like an angel, a messenger of God coming to us, we almost think, nah, there's no way that could happen. That's fantasy stuff. That's television stuff. Church, television and movies stole this from God. They didn't originate that. It's like the rainbow. Rainbow belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the gay movement. They took that. It belongs to God. That is a sign of a covenant between God and his people. So anytime that you see that, when the world is trying to tell you one thing, church, stand firm on the Word of God. Can an angel all of a sudden appear and start talking to me? Yes, that can happen. Absolutely. If God wills it. That's what's most important. If God wills it. So they don't have gender in their form, but when they come here, they're always in the male. All right. Characteristics. That was just kind of an introduction for you there. Okay? So we talked about why. What are angels? Who are angels? We get a physical description of them in Daniel 10, and then we also know that they always appear in male form when they come on earth. You with me so far? Rattle your head up and down. Good. Okay, that was good rattling. All right. Let's talk about some of the characteristics of angels. Here's the first one if you're taking notes. Angels are personal beings. They're personal beings. They're not robots. They don't walk around without any thinking in their mind or feelings or emotions. Because we know they have emotions. If you look in Luke 15, verse 7, here's what it says. Jesus says this, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Who's doing the rejoicing? The angels are. It's the heavenly host. So when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the angels were having a party. You were the host. You didn't even know it. You're the whole reason that they were doing that. Excited about the fact that you turned your back on the ways of the enemy and embraced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you have never done that, the moment you do, the angels are going to be celebrating over you, worshiping God for the power that He has in your life and for what He's going to be doing in and through you. They also have personal intelligence. Because every time you read in the Bible that angels show up, what are they doing? They're talking. They're bringing a message from God. So that means that they, again, they have a personal intelligence, and they also have names. Now, we're only given just a couple of names. If you read any of the extra biblical things that are written, there are more names that are listed in there, but they're not scriptural. And so there are, and we're going to talk more about that again later, but the names that we're given Michael the warrior, Gabriel the messenger, and Lucifer, who was the worship leader of heaven, who in his pride was cast down. Those are the three primary names that were given of angels, and there are a few more that are given a little bit later, and we'll talk about them. Here's the last thing. Angels do have will. Not will, but will. They have the ability to be able to make choices. How do we know that? Because again, when Lucifer said, "I want to be like the Most High God," what happened when he was cast out? Who went with him? Third of all of the angels chose to follow Lucifer, to be swept out with him. Let me just do a side note here for you. How crafty do you think Lucifer has to be in order to talk a third of the angels into leaving paradise to go with him? The reason I say that, church, is because we have to always be on guard and be aware. This is why we pray for one another. This is why we stay in the Word. This is why we support and help one another, because Satan is very crafty. He's very good at what he does. He could talk an angel out of heaven. What do you think he could do with us? Be careful, my friends. Be careful. This is why I'm always cautioning. Don't allow things to come into your spirit. I know I talked, this was a while back, I talked about yoga. Remember this? And I had some people that weren't happy with me. But church, I've got to be honest and I've got to be truthful with you. We cannot allow doorways to be open into our lives that allow the enemy to bring himself in. And that's what yoga is. I won't talk about that more now. But this is why we've got to be careful. So we talk about Harry Potter and all that kind of stuff, which, come on, Pastor Dave, that's innocent. It's spells, it's incantations, it's witchcraft, it's demonic. Say, Pastor Dave, aren't you a little over the line on this? I tell you what, church, I would rather err on the side of great caution to protect our lives and our hearts than to go, it's okay, no big deal, and to give the big door to the enemy to be able to walk right into your life. In drug cultures, they have what they're called gateway drugs. They're the introductory drugs that come in and allow a person to then step into more and more and more things in order to find what it is that he or she's looking for. The spiritual world is the same way. There are gateway things that the enemy will be able to use to get into our lives if we're not careful. That's one of the reasons why I want to teach on angels, because it could come that way if you're not careful. You need to keep those things of New Age away from your life. You need to keep those things of Far Eastern and that type of thing from ever influencing your life. Church, there's only one thing that we follow, and that is the Word of God. It is true, it is firm, it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. Say, Pastor Dave, you're going to be beating us over the head like this all morning? I don't know, maybe. I'm kind of enjoying this. I don't always get so tough as I ought to, so maybe that's what I'll do my, hey, how you doing? All right. So, first thing, angels are personal beings. Here's the second thing. Angels are spiritual beings first. That's how they were created, as spiritual beings. They're not created as physical beings and then transform into spiritual. They have always been spiritual beings. Now, converse that with us. We are physical beings. That's what contains us. We have soul, we have mind, we have spirit, but angels can only assume a physical form when God directs them to do that. And you see this all throughout the Bible. Just a couple real quick. Genesis 18, Abraham, you remember the story. Three men appeared to him. One of them was called the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus. And then there were two other angels, and they told him, Abe, doesn't look, you're not going to believe this, but you're going to have a kid. You're 100, she's 90. Don't worry about it. We got this. Isaac's going to be born. That's what the angels came to tell him. In Genesis 19, two men came to Lot, Abraham's nephew. Remember that story in Sodom, and tried to get them to leave the city before God passed judgment on it. Gabriel shows up, this is in Luke 11, to tell Mary and Zechariah that Jesus and John the Baptist are going to be born. That was an angel that did that. After Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and Satan came and tempted him, the Bible tells us that angels came and ministered to him. That was in Matthew 4. And then after Jesus' crucifixion, and we miss this sometimes, but I love what God did. It says he sent two angels in brilliant white clothing to sit at the entrance to the tomb. That's in Luke 24. And then angels weren't done when Jesus went back to heaven, because then we read in Acts 12, Peter is sitting in prison. He's got chains around his wrists. And the Bible tells us an angel walked in the door, the chains fell off, and they went out and they left. An angel set him free. So church, angels are very active all throughout the Bible. And I believe that they're just as active in our lives today. You know what I think keeps them from being seen more than anything is our own lack of faith. It's our lack of faith. This is why, again, I'd said to you, we have asked God to allow us to have a visitation of an angel. I mean, there's sometimes when Katherine and I are praying, I'm doing it with my eyes open because I'm looking around the room. Come on, where are you? Hasn't happened yet. Is that because I don't believe it can happen? No, I believe firmly. I think they're in this room right now with us. They're celebrating. They're worshiping with us. They're praying. They're protecting us. This is what God's heavenly angels do. They are a part of our lives, but we must keep it in the right way. Number three, angels are also distinct and different from man. If you haven't gotten that already, let me give you a little bit more to go on. Angels are not glorified men. The Bible does tell us, and Jesus says this in Matthew 22, 30. He talks about when we are in heaven that we're going to be like angels, and that's caused some confusion because it makes it sound like that when we die, we become angels. That's not what happens. There are a set number of angels. God does not need to bring us up there to sort of replace any that are fallen away or any that he's lost. God knows exactly how many there are. And so for us, we need to know that there's a great distinction between angels and men. And to further that, number four, watch this now. And I need you to stay with me because this could get a little convoluted, but I trust your intelligence. Almost all of you. See, now why would I say something like that? I have no idea why I would say that. Dave, you're making me think these things. Further distinction between angels and men. Right now, watch this. All of humanity, all of us, are part of the human race, okay? I'll tell you anything you don't know. We are a single type of physical being. There's not different types of people. There are people. And when I say that, I mean what makes us who we are. Two arms, two legs, head on a torso, eyes, ears, mouth, nose, all of those things. All of those things that make us that are because we are descended from one man. Who are we all descended from? Adam. We're descended from Adam. And God preserved the Adamic line when he destroyed the world through who? Who did he preserve it through? Noah. Okay, you with me? We're descendants of Adam. God came, destroyed the foundation, or the population of the earth because of the sin, but he saved Noah in order that we might have that continued line that we would be a part of. So we are all a part of that. So since we are all descended of Adam, We know that our structure is the same, but the characteristics of what makes us who we are may be different. Our skin color, our hair color, our height, our weight, our body type, all of those things that may be different, but we're all still descended from Adam. Now, watch this. Angels are not descended from anybody. Angels are a creative collective. That's a difference. They are set apart from who we are, and they're different than who we are. And because they do not share that death penalty that we have been given, their bodies never age, and they're immortal. They never die. We do because of sin. Even though we have been forgiven, even though we have that promise of what's going to come in heaven, this physical body is always in the process of deteriorating. Boy, aren't you glad you came to church now? Hi, you're dying. Glad you're here. We know that. We grow and we're getting older and all this kind of thing. And then at a certain point, our body stops growing and we start shrinking, some of us. I'm trying not to shrink. I've had two now times at doctors, they tell me I'm 6'2½". I'm not going to accept that ever. I'm 6'3", end of sentence. The Nile is a river in Egypt, yes, I know. But for me, it's much more. Angels aren't that way. They don't have to deal with that of what we were given through Adam. Now, watch this. Within that immortality that angels have, they do not marry, all right? They don't get married. They don't have children. They don't procreate. There are no baby angel, schools up in heaven, all right? They don't need that up there. There are those, and there are people that will say, well, Dave, what about the Nephilim? Do you remember that? Remember we talked about the Nephilim in Genesis? Those men that were of the giants, they said of the Nephilim race. And there's two schools of thought with the Nephilim. The first is this, is that it was the intermarrying of the godly line of Seth with the ungodly line of Cain. That's one interpretation. But there's a second one that I think is more appropriate for what the Bible tells us, that it talks about how these giants came from those of God and those the women of men, is that these were actually fallen angels that had come and intermarried or interrelated with women. It's what created those giants. Now, we can debate and talk about that for hours. That's not what we're here to do. But what I want you to understand is that angels live a different way than we do. They don't marry each other. And this is where I think that confusion comes in Matthew 22:30. This is Jesus. He says, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. He's not saying that we're going to become angels. He's going to say that when we get to heaven, we're not going to have the same earthly relationships there that we do here. That kind of bums me out a little bit, to be honest. I would love to spend eternity with Katarina as my wife, but that's not the way it's going to work. We're not going to have those kinds of people relationships when we get to heaven. Are we going to know each other? Yes, we will. And if she has to have her own house, I'm her neighbor. I've already decided. I'm at the beach, by the way. We're going to have houses right next to each other at the beach. But the confusion came because people then look at that and say, well, then they're saying we're going to be like angels. No, that's not what he's saying. When we die, we are going to be going to heaven in our perfect bodies. And what does the Bible actually say that we're going to do when we get to heaven? It said we're going to have charge over the angels. See, this is how much God loves us, his creation. He loves us so much. God did not send Jesus to die for the angels. He sent him to die for us and for you. And to understand and to recognize the importance of that, church, is why we spend the time doing this, so that we cannot allow the enemy to come and to tell us things that are not true. That we can hold to the firmness of the Word of God. Because if our minds allow us to accept what's not true about angels in the Bible, what else are we then going to begin to doubt? I'm not doubting any of this. Every single word that's here is truth, and it's how I want to live my life. Okay, let me keep moving forward here. Now, I'll be careful how I say this with you, because I don't want to confuse you with this. Because Adam, we are descendants of his. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin came in as a part of our physical human DNA. This is why the Bible tells us, it says, this is Psalms 52:5. It says, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. We are born into sin. If you don't believe that, get a couple of little kids that have never been taught about what it means to take or to give or those kinds of things, and give them one toy to play with. Watch what happens. We know what it is to be selfish without anybody telling us. We know what it is to have things the way I want them to be without anybody telling us. That's because of the sin nature that's a part of us. The entire human race fell into sin because of Adam and Eve's actions. It's why Jesus needed to come. It's why he came and gave his life as a sacrifice for us so that we would be forgiven of our sins. But you see, when Lucifer sinned, the angels that went with him didn't mean that every angel was now filled with sin. It was only those who decided they wanted to follow him. And this is why, church, it is so important that as Christians we know that the things that we do, the things that we say, the decisions that we make all carry tremendous consequence with them. The angels that followed Lucifer were thrown out of heaven. They never get back in. They're done. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes again as a part of that final judgment, that Satan, that the Antichrist and all of his angels are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They're done. The consequences that we have been brought to us because of sin. But now watch this. God sent his Son to save us. He loved us so much. You can say these words with me in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and I love to take out the word world and put in my name. For God so loved David that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that when David believes in him, he will not perish but have eternal life. That's a promise for each of us here this morning, church. The angels don't get that promise. We do. The angels don't have that knowledge of the fact that God loved them so much that he sent his Son to die for them. We do. We have that promise. And what's so important for us today is to know that in God's love for us, that while right now the angels, the Bible tells us, are a little bit higher than his creation because of that sin nature, that someday when we get to heaven, the Bible says he's going to give us charge over his angels. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what's important about knowing about this right now? What is it that I can take with me from this? Well, two things. The first is this: angels are messengers of God, and so too are we. We're messengers of God, church. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you're a messenger for Jesus Christ. And if you tell somebody you know him, they're watching you. They want to see, how are you acting? What kind of words are you saying? Mike told all those guys, they all knew he was a Christian at work. Made it a lot harder, didn't it, Mike? Yeah, because they're watching him. And I'll tell you what, Mike's got a temper just like all of us do. Mike has feelings just like all of us do. But when you proclaim yourself as a child of God, that temper, that reaction is not what rules you. It's who he is in me. It's the fact that I want to be a witness to these guys. And maybe nothing's going to change, but Mike, you planted seeds there everywhere you were. And now God's got a new place for you to plant some seeds. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be able to know that angels are an important part of my life, but this is what I am called to be right now. I don't look to an angel to come and to do things for me, or to somehow help me to do something and not have a bad reaction. That's my responsibility, church. I'm a messenger for Jesus Christ in everything that I do. The second thing then, as messengers or servants of God, an angel's singular purpose is to serve him. Well, church, that should be our mission too, is to serve God everywhere that we are. 1 Peter 4:10-11, and with this I'll quit. Says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised in Jesus Christ. Church, that's our mission. It's our mission in our lives to serve him, just as the angels do. It's our mission to be messengers for God, just like the angels are. And I don't have to have wings. I don't need to have arms and legs like burnished bronze. Dave, you're probably the closest to that of all of us, burnished bronze arms and legs. But I don't need those physical characteristics. What I want to have the characteristics of is the fact that I just want to serve my Father. Everything that I do, everywhere that I go, people know that Jesus Christ is the most important person in my life. And it won't be because I can slam a bunch of verses on them. It's going to be because when something ugly happens, I'm not going to respond like somebody else may. If something happens unfair to me, I'm not going to lash out in anger. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to lose my temper. And when we do that, I can tell you, and you can talk to Mike, he'll tell you, God will reward you. God will bless you. He'll be present with you. Now, is God looking for perfect people? Fortunately, no. No, he's not looking for perfect people. What he is looking for is for humble people who want to serve him, that are ready. And I talked with Mike, and he said, yeah. He said, listen, he said, I blew it a few times, but he said, I just said, God, you got to help me with this. And you know what? God does. He will. God's not looking for us to be angels. He's got enough angels. What he's looking for right now are for men and women who desire to be servants and to be messengers for him. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, God, that as we come before you today and just attempt, God, to understand better some of these things. And Lord, it's a lot of information. But God, what's most important that we leave with here today is the knowledge of the fact that just as the angels were created to serve you, so too, Father, we give our lives to you and we serve you. So, Father, if there's anyone in this room that is struggling here right now with this whole thing, God, those that need to release their minds, their hearts to you, I pray that this would be that moment. In Jesus' name, God, allow them to be able to overcome that. Give them the strength that they need to have victory over those things in their lives. And Father, as in all of these things, we give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, thank you for this time together. We look forward to hanging out at the park next week. Lord, just the great fellowship that we're able to have, and it's all because of you. And so please watch over each and every person here. Keep them safe. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.